Hello again, and welcome to Mornings for the Master, heard each weekday right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, and I am your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master, a program designed to help you get your day going in the right direction by spending time in God's Word. Mornings for the Master has a different host each day of the week, and a different course of study. And so on Thursdays, we are currently studying the book of 1 Timothy, Paul's first letter to Timothy. And today, we are going to be in chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 12 through 17 today. And the fact that Paul desired for Timothy to be a pattern for those who would be believers. And that is something that we as Christians should aspire to do, and especially those who would be leaders in various capacities. So we'll consider this section of chapter 1 today. Now, let's begin this morning by going to our text. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant, with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So, are you someone who has contemplating becoming a Christian? You know, I've known people who give it thought, and they had questions, and difficult questions that really shouldn't be, but perhaps in thinking about becoming a Christian, you might have wondered about all of the terrible things that you've done in life. Maybe some that might be considered horrible by other standards. I've had individuals tell me that there is no way that God could forgive me. I've just done too much wrong. Did you wonder if God would forgive you for the terrible things you've done? Could you possibly live and change to the kind of life that God desires of you? Perhaps it just seems too much to you. But there is a man that we find who serves as a great example for someone who might be thinking along those lines. God could not possibly have enough grace and mercy for me, might be your thought. But the man we're considering is a great example of the grace and the mercy that is available to man, even the worst of men. And also gives us an example of not only the one receiving forgiveness, but a great example of the faith and the love that one can have when they live in Christ. And my friends, that man's name is Paul. And in our text today, the Apostle Paul describes for us his own conversion. And how he is certainly a pattern for would-be believers. And so, as he describes this to Timothy, there is great benefit for you and I to be found here. We see that Paul, first of all, is a pattern for us in demonstrating the grace of our Lord. For Paul was certainly a recipient of that. For a moment, let's just consider the former life that Paul lived as he went by the name of Saul, and just consider that would be the man who would receive the grace of our Lord. What kind of man was Saul, who would later be known as Paul, in his former life? Well, he well describes himself in our text that he was a blasphemer, that he was a persecutor, and that he was an insolent or violent man. Notice in our text, verse 13, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Paul brought great affliction and persecution upon the church of our Lord in its early days. In fact, Paul would drag men and women to prison, have them put to death. In Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 58, and on through chapter 8 in verse 1, we find that Saul, or Paul, was consenting to the death of that great disciple, Stephen. Let's read there, beginning in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea. Paul was a man who was wreaking havoc upon the church at Jerusalem. Still in the book of Acts there in chapter 8, drop down to verse 3 and look at what Saul was doing. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. But Paul did not just stop his persecution and attacks upon the church of our Lord there in Jerusalem, for he went wherever he could find them. And we see that Paul would persecute the Christians even as far as Damascus. Notice chapter 9, still in Acts, verses 1 and 2. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Paul was persecuting the church even to the point of imprisonment and death for the Christians. And he admitted this. Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. He said, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Paul was completely zealous and devout in the Jewish faith, and in those early days of the church, Saul was enraged against Christians. He would try to force them to blaspheme the name of Jesus. Listen to what he said in Acts chapter 26, verses 9 through 11. And look, for I don't think any of you today within the sound of my voice has done things as evil and awful against the Lord is what Saul did. Acts 26, beginning in verse 9. Indeed, I myself, I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Paul would drag them across the world in an effort to destroy the church. In fact, that was Paul's very goal, to destroy the church of God, for it stood counter to the law of Moses, which he sought to keep. Recall Galatians chapter 1 and verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. Paul was indeed chief of sinners. And yet this man, whom our text in verse 15 said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This man would be recipient of the grace of the Lord. And I don't think any of us can even hold a candle to the things that Paul did. But yet, the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant toward Paul, and he obtained mercy. Verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Paul certainly did not merit the grace of the Lord that he received, but it was extended to him just as it is extended to each one of us who are willing to obediently follow him. Verse 16 says, however, for this reason, I obtain mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. We have Paul as a pattern or example of how the grace of Christ is offered and what it can do. So we've looked at Paul, but what about you? What about your life? Now, we know for a fact that you have committed sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, according to Romans chapter 3. In verse 23, we find. We also find in James chapter 2 and verse 10 that it says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So just like Paul, each one of us stands guilty before God without the grace of Christ. Again, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and whoever shall keep the whole law yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. And we have all stumbled, for we have all sinned. But perhaps Perhaps you're not like Saul was. Maybe you were not as filled with the evil and the rage that Saul had. In fact, perhaps you're a very good person. In fact, you may be a very wonderfully moral person. Perhaps even as good a person as the Ethiopian eunuch was in Acts chapter 8. Maybe you're as wonderful a person as Cornelius was, whom we read of in Acts chapter 10. Or even a person as good as Lydia. But maybe that's not who you are. Maybe you are like Paul. Maybe you are a murderer, a blasphemer like Paul. But you see, in either case, no matter how good a person you are, or how bad a person you are, either way, Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And so, whether you are like a Saul or like a Cornelius, in either case, Jesus came to save you, and you, without Christ, are under the guilt of sin. Verse 15 again said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Of course, being Paul. "The grace of the Lord is exceedingly abundant to all men." Verse 14. "The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." The Lord Jesus Christ, fortunately for you and I, is long-suffering. Notice verse 16. And see his long suffering. "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." But it was not just Paul who spoke of this long suffering. For the Apostle Peter would also speak of the long suffering of the Lord in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." My friend, will you not let Paul's pattern, in fact, move you to believe on the Lord for the hope of everlasting life? Look at verse 16 again. "However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." Do you get the picture? There is no sin that is too great. There is no crime that is so vile and awful that cannot be forgiven by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who would come to be known as Paul, the Apostle Paul, serves as great evidence that no matter who you are or what you might have done, you can be saved. And so, we find that Paul provides us a great example of the grace of our Lord when we consider his former life and what he would become. So now let's consider the fact that Paul provides us also a great example in demonstrating the faith and love in Jesus Christ. The Lord took Paul from being the chiefest of sinners, and in fact, put Paul into the ministry. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 now in our text. Notice verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Paul would become one who would bear witness to what he had seen. Acts chapter 26 and verse 16. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Paul would be an apostle of Jesus, having witnessed his resurrection. And Jesus would use Paul to help to turn people from the power of Satan to the power of God. In that same chapter of Acts chapter 26, now notice verse 18 and what Paul would be used for in regards to other men. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He became a pattern of the faith and love that is possible in Christ Jesus. Consider again in our text, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now Paul was able to demonstrate this faith because he cooperated with the grace of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." The Apostle Paul would strive daily to be the very best that he could be. Look at what he wrote to those at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this in mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Because of the grace of the Lord, Paul would learn to find contentment, and he would also find strength. Recall Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." The Apostle Paul provides us the great example of a life of faith and a life of love, one that will lead to peace for an individual. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul said, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." But my friend, what about your life? What about your life if you are already a Christian? One that has faith that comes from the Word of God? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Do you have a love that comes by being taught the Word of God? Recall what Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Christian friend, today, are you following the pattern of Paul? Are you in harmony with the grace of God? Are you motivated daily to turn away from sin? Are you working diligently in moving towards spiritual maturity? Are you faithful? Are you faithful to whatever ministry the Lord has blessed you with? And today, my friend, if you're not yet a Christian, what are you waiting for? Why not take the step of faith like Paul did? For the grace was there even for one as bad as Paul had been. He simply did what the Lord commanded him to do. Do you remember when Ananias was sent to Saul in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16? He said, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And Paul immediately started anew, fresh, reborn, and walking by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Why not accept the love that is available to you in Jesus Christ? The love of God, the love of your heavenly Father. In 1 John chapter 4, notice verses 10 and 11. "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Oh, the love of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Notice John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Will you not let Paul's pattern move you to grow in faith and example? We can use him for an example, for even he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." So now as we bring things toward a close today, let us note that Paul was moved to respond to the grace of the Lord in two ways. One is that he thanked Jesus Christ. Notice verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." He thanked Christ Jesus, and second, he praised God. Notice verse 17. "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Shall we not respond to the grace of God in the same way as Paul? Shouldn't we thank God by rendering obedience to the gospel of Christ and then giving praise to him by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? For if we do this, then the Lord, just as he did with Paul, can use us also as a pattern for would-be believers. Let's close with verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Great lessons for us from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it will also be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Remember that on the on-demand section, you can go back and pull up previous editions of this program or any other program heard on the Gospel Radio Network. I want to encourage you to stay tuned throughout the day today for the programming here on the network. There are so many capable teachers and preachers that will be bringing you sound scriptural lessons straight from the Word. Also remember to tune in again tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, when your host will be Brother Chip Horton, where he'll bring another lesson, another great lesson, as he always does. Remember to tune in to Mornings for the Master each day, each weekday here on the Gospel Radio Network. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time. And so until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a wonderful day. May God bless you.